All right, we're beginning here on the top of Ayin Ted Amud Aleph, three lines down. Gemara says, Amar Rav Huna Bar Chiya Amar Shmuel, Hilchota Kechananya. The halacha is like Chananya. We saw yesterday the machloka between the Chachamim and Chananya with regards to the mitzvah of Oto Ve'et Bino, whether it has application only through the mother, or does it also have application through the father. And Chananya was of the opinion that Choshishim Lezera Av, that we do consider the father in this lav of Oto Ve'et Bino, and therefore you could not shech the father and child on the same day. And Shmuel here is posking like that view of Chananya. V'az le Shmuel le Tameh. And this is Shmuel le Shitato, the Tznan. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Anoladim min asus, offspring that are born from a horse. Over here the sus is a mare, it's a female horse. Afal pi she aviem ha-chamor, even though their father is a chamor, which is a male chamor, a male donkey, which is a jack. Mutarim ze baze. They can mate with each other. So you're here, you have offspring, which are mules. They're a mixture between a horse and a donkey, but the mother is a horse, and the father is a donkey. Aval, hanoladim min ha-chamor, im hanoladim min ha-sus. On the other hand, those that are born, or offspring that are born from a female donkey, which is a jenny, Imanoladim min asus, with those that are born from a mother, which is a horse, which is a mare, asurim. So if they have different mothers, then it is problematic in terms of their mating. If they have similar mothers, even though they are a mixed breed, then they are allowed to be mated. And Rashi discusses this, that if you have some sort of a mule that is produced by a female horse with a female mule, that it comes from also a female horse, then we don't worry about the mixture that they contain in terms of their mating over here. So that the mother is so definitively the determinant of the species over here, that as long as the mother has they have common mothers in terms of their species, we don't worry about it. Even though both of them are mixed breeds, we don't say that the mixed breeds overlap, or that they are utilizing each other, and we'll see in a second what the Baal Tosfot say about this. But if they have different mothers, then you have a problem, and that's exactly the sheet of the Chachamim. At least the Ramban believes that that is the sheet of the Chachamim that we saw before. The Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim are synonymous, which is that we're only choshesh le zera ha'aim. We only worry about the mother in these situations. Am Rabbi Yehuda, am Shmuel, zo divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Shmuel on this Mishnah says that that's Rabbi Yehuda's position. Damar ain't choshishim lezera av, because he holds we don't worry about the father's contribution. That doesn't mean that the father is not a contributor physically or hereditarily. It just means halachically the father has no bearing on the offspring. Aval chachamim omrim kol minei pradot achatein. They believe that all mules are one species. It's clear here that Shmuel believes that that Mishnah is a dat yachid, and therefore he assigns the opinion of the Chachamim to the opposing position of that Mishnah. And that shows you that he believes that Choshishin Lezera Av is halakhically the majority opinion. And then the Gemara says, Man Chachamim. Who are the Chachamim over here? Chananya, Damar Choshishin Lezera Av. It's got to be Chananya because he's the one who says Choshishin Lezera Av. So Shmuel is calling Chananya's position the position of the Chachamim versus that position of Rabbi Yehuda. And therefore, you would then not have a problem mating two mules together. Whether the mules were a product of a stallion and a jenny, or they were the product of a mare and a jack. And it doesn't matter whether the mother or the father was the horse or the donkey, because they are a mixed breed, and both contributing parents are meaningful over here, then you have 50-50 donkey horse, irrespective of which parent is the donkey or the horse, and then all mules then are quote-unquote the same species because they all derive from a mixture of the two, and luckily, each parent is significant in creating that child, and therefore you have a 50-50 mix, and they should be fine mating together. V'hai barsusia v'chamra. Based on that, if you have a stallion with a jenny, v'hai barchamra v'susia, and if you have a jack and a mare, Kulu chadamininu. They're all one species, which we just said here, irrespective of whether it's a male or female, that is, the donkey or the horse, the offspring, the mule, now are all the same species. So, Yibayilu, Gemara wants to know now, Mipshat pshita le Rabbi Yehuda, dein choshishin lezerahav. Is Rabbi Yehuda's position built on a certainty that we don't worry about the father's contribution halachically? Odilma svuke misapkele. Maybe he is uncertain as to what the din is in these situations. The question really derives, this is the way the Ramban explains it, from the otovet beno, because the Ramban views Rabbi Yehuda's position being synonymous with that of the chachamim by otovet beno. By otovet beno, the chachamim say that the father is not relevant. So the real question is, when we say the father is not relevant by the otovet beno, is that because we believe that otovet beno is a guiding principle that tells us that everywhere in the Torah, ein choshishin lezera'av, that means that the father is not relevant anywhere in halacha, and the otovet beno is just an example of that being expressed, which is that fathers don't matter in halachically with regards to animals. Or is otovet beno an exception to the rule? Because otovet beno is very particular to the connection between the child and the parent. And over there we said beno, hakaruch hakarav, the child that hangs on to the parent, that refers to the female. So maybe otovet beno in particular has focus on the female, but that wouldn't necessarily be the din across the board everywhere else. Maybe everywhere else we would be choshish lezerav, and otovet beno is the exception to the rule. So that's really the nature of the Gemara's question, which is, how exclusive is the din of otovet beno? Is it the exception to the rule, which means that everywhere else we would worry about zera'av? Or is it the rule, and therefore zera'av is not meaningful? So then, the mainaf kamino, what's the issue here? The Mishnah pri imayim, in order to allow the offspring with the mother. Now, the way Rashi explains it doesn't mean literally that the offspring can mate with its mother, but it means that the offspring can mate with its mother's species. So that would be really the nafkamina. If you say that he's certain that zera'av is not meaningful halachically, then priyamayim, shari. Then whatever the mother's species is, then the offspring could mate with that. That means that a mule that came from a jenny, which means that it had a female donkey as a mother, then that mule could mate with donkeys without any problem, because mother was determinant, absolutely determinant over here as being a donkey, and therefore its species is a donkey and it can mate with a donkey. But if you say that he was uncertain, then the offspring could not mate with the mother species, because you're not certain now whether the offspring is really just the mother species or it's the mother and the father species. And in that case, you wouldn't be able to mate it with the mother species, nor would you be able to be mated with the father species. You can only do it with something that has the same structural setup as it, because of the fact that we are uncertain as to whether the father is counted over here. So again, even if you have something that has the same makeup, just reversed parents, that won't help you either, because you have the suffix as to whether the mother is the determinant over here. And if they come from different species in terms of their mothers, they would not be the same. That would be the nafkamina. My, what's the din? Tashma, but we just saw from Rabbi Yehuda Omer kol noladim min asus. Anything that's born from a female horse, a mare, afo pi she'avien chamor, even though their father is a jack, mutarim ze bezeh, they can be mated together. So all these mules that have female horses as their mothers, they can be mated together. Hey chidami, ilei medavua dahai chamor, davua dahai chamor. If you think that in this situation, both of them, their fathers, are a chamor, which means that you have a jack with a mare, and then you have another one that has a jack with a mare, tzricha lemeimar, you have to tell me that they're allowed to mate together? Why would you think otherwise? They're both mules that come from the exact same parent makeup, which is both of them are from a female horse and a male donkey. Why shouldn't they be able to be mating? Elalav, it must be the scenario that he's describing is the father of this one is a horse, which means you have a stallion and a mare, two horses that made it together. And the other one has a mother, which is a horse, but a father that is a chamor, that is a jack. So one of them is a mule, the other one is a horse. And Rabbi Yehuda seems to indicate that they are mutarim to mate, which means that the mother is absolutely determinate, because both of them have mothers that are mares, that are horses, but they have different fathers. And the attribute is saying that they can mate together. Alma mishab shitale. Sounds like pretty straightforward. He believes that the mother determines over here. Gemara says, lo, dolam davua hai chamor, vavua dai chamor. Both of them have fathers that are jacks, that are donkeys, and they're both mules from the same parent makeup, which is a mother as a horse and a father that is a donkey. Udika amart. And that you said, Sricha the Meimar, then what do you have to tell me? If they have the same makeup, then why shouldn't they be able to be made together? Maudutema, I would have thought, Ati tzad sus, demishtamesh bitzad chamor, bitzad chamor, mishtamesh bitzad sus. I would think that a mule is an aggregation of a horse and a donkey. And now when the two mules come to mate together, you would think that the side of the horse for one mule is now kil'ayim with the donkey side of the other mule, and vice versa. So that you actually have a problem over here, kamash malan, that we don't say that. Now, as Tosafot says, the hava mino is even stronger given the fact that we have such a din. When it regards to an eved kanani, which was owned by two shutafim, was owned by two partners, and one of the partners freed him, and the other partner did not free him, then he's what's called chatzi eved, chatzi ben chorim. He is not allowed to marry a shifcha kananit in the same position. If those same partners owned shifcha kananit, and one of them freed, the other one didn't, so she's also a chetzia bat chorin, chetzia shifcha kananit. So now you should say they're both of the same type. They're both 50% ben chorin, 50% eved kananit, or shifcha kananit bat chorin. Why can't they get married? Gemara says they can't get married because the tzad ben chorin of the eved is then being mishtamesh for the shifcha kananit, and also the tzad eved kananit is benefiting from the bat chorin. And because of that mix, you're not allowed to have them get married, even though they're of the same status. Tosfot says, why don't we say the same thing over here? Over here, we don't say that the mules that get together, when you have a mule that's a chetzi horse and a chetzi donkey, we don't say that the two of them can't mate because of the mix that exists between them. That's the Gemara's Havamina. So first of all, the Havamina of the Gemara is supported by this idea of Chetzi Eved, Chetzi Shifcha Kananit. The question is, why does the Gemara over here say Kamash Malan, that we don't say that? Why is it different over here than it is by the Eved Kananit and the Shifcha Kananit? The Pasuk says over here, the Hacha Kilayim Amarachmana, Dafka Trei Mine. The Pasuk over here says Kilayim, a mixed breed, which means two different species. Kol HaPardot HaBaot Misus V'chamor Minecharu. When it comes to a donkey and a horse, they all become one species. Or in essence, what Tosafot is saying is, there's a big difference between biological mixtures versus status mixtures. By a human being, where the person's status is now chetziu ben chorim, chetziu eved kanani, that means that they have a part of them that is one feature, one part of them that's another feature. It's not something that's inherent to their existence. It can be changed. He could buy it out and be a total ben chorim. He could sell the other side in and be a total eved kanani. The person is a mixed status. They are not a mixed breed. On the other hand, animals that are a product of a mother that is a horse and a father that is a donkey, they are a new species, a new entity that has those features that are associated between the two. So when you look at two mules that derive from a parent that is a horse and a parent that is a donkey, you don't have now 50% horse and 50% donkey. You have 100% mule, which means you have a totally new species. And that's what Tosafot is saying. The difference over here is that we don't look at them as being a 50-50 mix. We look at them being a new species called the mule. That new species can get together with another mule, assuming again that their parent makeup is the same according to Rabbi Yehuda. And therefore, the chiddush over here is exactly that. The chiddush is to tell you that over here it's different than the case of the Eved Kanani and the Shifcha Kananit, because over there it's just a status. And status, you could have 50% being this status, 50% being that status, and then there is a problem that they are interfering with each other when they get married. By the animals, they're a new species, and they are the same species. That new species of mule is then allowed to mate with another species of mule. They're the same because they have the same character now. Right, Tashma. Now the Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, parda shetava, emar bin alea, a hini, which is a female mule. She's looking to be mated with. She wants to be mounted by a male. Ein bar bina leha, we don't allow you to bring, in terms of a male here, lo sus, not a stallion, lo chamor, and not a jack. Ella mina. The only thing we allow you to mount her with is something that has the exact same makeup as her. I mean, it has to also be a mule with a common parents. I mean, that the male and female parents have the same species. Diamart. If you say mishap chitale, if you think for Rabbi Huda, he's certain that the mother is determinant, larava ala mina dima, then let him just mount on this mule, whichever species the mother was. So if this mule was a product of a mare, then bring a horse to mate with it. If this was a product of a jenny, which was a female donkey, then bring a donkey to mate with it. Why are you avoiding that possibility and saying that you can only do it with something that has the exact same makeup? The Gemara says, "Delo yadina mina d'ima." Mind you, sometimes you just don't know. You have a mule here. You have no idea how it became a mule. You don't know which was the donkey and which was the horse in the breeding of this mule. Vaha ela minoktani. Over here it says that you can only bring something that is its species. How do you know what its species is? Meaning that saying that you can only bring a mule means that you know what the construct of this mule is. Because the mule could come from a male horse, a stallion, and a female donkey and a jenny. Or it could come the other way around. It could come from a mare, a female horse, and a male donkey, a jack. If you're telling me you don't know what the mother is, then you also don't know how this mule was created. How can you bring another mule in order to mate with it? Hachi gamar. Ein marbin alea lo min sus v'lo min chamor. You can't bring a horse or a donkey to mate with it. The fish ein yodim b'mina. Because we don't know what its species is. It doesn't mean ela mina, only bring its species, but rather we don't know its species. Therefore, you can't bring a stallion, nor can you bring a jack, because you just don't know what the makeup of this animal is. Believe dok b'simanim. Why don't you just check by the identifiable parts of the animal? Damar Abaye. Abaye tells us, avi kale, if it has a deep and hoarse or harsh type of voice, bar chamra, then it is the result of a jenny, a female donkey. Sanif kale, if it has more of a shrill or high-pitched voice, or the way that Rashi says over here, salul, it's clear, beloshon tzakata sus, that is like the neighing of a horse. Bar susya, then it is a mare. From the sound that it makes, you can figure out which species was the mother. Depending on the strength of voice, the quality of the voice, that would indicate to you whether this was a product of a jenny or a product of a mare. Vamara papa, rabravan odnei, if it has big ears, vizutra gnuftei, and a small tail, bar chamra. It was the result of a donkey being the mother, a jenny. Vizutra gnuftei, if it has small ears, viraba gnuftei, and a long tail, bar susya. Then it was the result of a mother that was a horse or a mare. I mean, the difference between a donkey and a horse are identifiable in this way. Donkeys have big ears. Horses have small ears. Donkeys have small tails. Horses have big tails. So now, if you have a mule that is showing signs closer to a horse, that means that its mother was a horse. If you have a mule that is showing signs that are closer to that of a donkey, then you're going to know that the mule was an offspring of a donkey. So based on these three identifying factors, why can't we tell what this mule is? You're telling me we can't know who the mother is of this mule or what species the mother of this mule was. By its features, you should be able to determine what the species of the mother was. Hachav amayiskinen. What are we doing here? Be'ilemet v'gidemet. It's a animal that is mute, meaning that we have no way to hear its voice because it can't speak or communicate. V'gidemet. A gidemet is usually used to mean missing a limb. Generally, it's referenced to a loss of arms. Over here, the gidemet means, as Rashi says, it doesn't have the ears and the tail. The tail was cut off. So the identifying features are missing over here. The ears and the tail are cut off, and the voice is silent. I mean, we can't hear anything from them. So now we don't know what the din is. It says, my havi Allah. Okay, in the end, what is the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda? Is Rabbi Yehuda certain that the mother is determinant? Or is Rabbi Yehuda safek, whether it's the mother and the father or just the mother? Tashma. Damar Rabbi Yehuna, brother of Yeshua. Hakol modim b'fri imaim shasur. Everybody agrees that the offspring cannot mate with the mother, not the mother literally, but the mother's species. Now, kol moti means both the chachamim. That's obvious that the chachamim say that, because they're choshishin lezerav. So, of course, you can't mate it with the species of the mother. You have to worry about the father's species as well. But the fact that you say kol modim is also Rabbi Yehuda, why does Rabbi Yehuda worry about that? If he thinks that the mother's species is all that is determinant, then why do you need to worry about mating it with the species of the mother? Shmamina, svuke misapkale shmamina. And here you see that he really is disafek, and that's why he won't allow you to mate the offspring with the mother's species. Because it's possible that we'd have to worry about the zera'av. You worry about the zera'av, then it can't mate with its mother's species. It needs to mate with something that's identical to it. If you think that we're not choshesh the zera'av, then you can only mate it with something that is exactly species that matches up with the mother. For that reason, you can only mate it then with something that has the exact same parent makeup as it. If it has the exact same parent makeup, then whether you only worry about the mother or you worry about both the mother and the father, in that instance, then you have for sure covered all your bases because the mother and father are the same species. And we already noted that even though you could have considered that to be problematic as well because the two 50% sides then interact with each other, we said that the offspring is a new product. It's a new species, and therefore that new species, which is comprised of 50%, 50%, that is good enough in order to make this animal okay to be mated if it has the same parent makeup. Again, if it has something where you're bringing just the species of the mother, it won't work as maybe Hoshin the Zerav. If you bring an animal that is the same outcome, but from different parents, meaning that it's a mule, but the parent roles are reversed, you can't mate it either because maybe Hoshin the Zera'im. Because if you were choshesh for both the aim and their father, then it wouldn't matter. You could have the two mules mate together and wouldn't be an issue. But if you believe that it's only aim, then you can't mix them together. So for that reason, you couldn't mate them with two mules that have different parent genders. Can't mate them because of that. And you can't mate it with whatever the species of the mother is. You can't mate it because maybe on the other side, choshesh lezerav. So for that reason, you can only match it up with its own species. And that shows you that Rabbi Yehuda believes that it's a safek because he's unwilling to let you match it up with the mother's species. So Amalei Rabbi Abba Lishameh. So Rabbi Abba says to his servant, to his shamash, E mailitli kudnaita berispik. If you have a mule, and kudnaita many times is a white mule, that is hitched up to the wagon, ayin lahanach the damian lahadadi. Make sure that the mules that are hitched to the wagon are of the same species by identifying their features. So what you see here is a number of things. First of all, to use the mules is fine. We don't say because they're a product of kilayim that they're asurim b'hana'a, but you are allowed to use the product, even though you may not be able to produce the product because it's an isur of kilayim, lo tarbiya, that you're not allowed to mate different species. Once they are mated and there's an offspring, there's no restriction against benefiting from that mixture of the behemot. Number two is, the mules here, he is saying that when you do this, make sure the mules are matched up, which means that he thinks that the mother's species is what's determinant over here, because he wants to make sure they have the same features. And we said before, the features are determined by the mother. So if he's telling you to look at the features and match them up, he's saying as long as the mothers match up, then we're fine over here. So second of all, you see that he says, Ein choshin lezerav. And the third thing you say is he thinks that the simanim are enough to match them up. And that's what the Gemara says over here. So he says, Almo. So from here you see, Kasavar, Ein Choshishin the Zerav. First of all, he says, if you don't worry about the father, since you don't worry about the father, then if you brought two mules together that had different parent genders, it wouldn't be allowed to be brought together. If you were Choshishin the Zerav, then it wouldn't matter that you have parents of different genders for the mules, because in the end, they're both a 50-50 mix, and then it would have been fine. The fact that he says worry about who were the parents and which gender was the mother of this mule shows you that all he cares about is the mother, not the father. Number two is, he says, v'simanim de'uraita. And from this you can conclude that simanim are good enough mina Torah. Kilayim is an iser de'uraita. And based on the simanim of the animal, he's willing to allow them to hitch up together. The iser of hitching animals together derives from lo tachrosh b'shor v'chamor yachdav. You're not allowed to plow with them or work with them together. That's not just by plowing. That's pulling a wagon. That means anything where they are hitched together, there's going to be a problem. So here he's saying that the simanim are enough to be determinant that you can put these mules together. That shows you that simanim are a good enough solution or determinant min haTorah. Rashi says, what's the Gemara saying over here? Machloket in Baba Metzia with regards to Hashavat Aveda. When you give back an Aveda, you have to, the Gemara there has a question whether it's Simanim or Darabanan, or Simanim Doraita. Meaning that if someone produces the Simanim, do we view that as a rabbinic way to identify the object? Or do we view it as a Doraita way to identify the object? And how much do we rely on Simanim? Meaning do Simanim can have the ability to make Doraita decisions? Like an instance by the cases of Aguna. Can you identify a person through Simanim? And do those Simanim then allow you to free the Aguna from her husband? If someone saw the corpse and they give Simanim of the body, how powerful or how strong are those Simanim? So Rashi says all these sugiot are connected. What the Gemara is saying over here, Simanim Doraita, means it has implications not just here, but in other areas of Halacha that we would say Simanim Doraita. The Ramban is wary of doing such a thing. And that's because he says you could clearly make distinctions between them. You could say by animals and kilayim, simanim are do'uraita, whereas by Hashavat Aveda, the simanim are something that is identifying whether this person is telling the truth or not telling the truth. And a person can know about simanim even if he doesn't tell the truth. Maybe he knew about this object. He saw the object in the other person's house. So he can give you the simanim. Doesn't mean he's really the owner of it. So the Ramban says you can differentiate between the cases. And just because simanim doraita over here doesn't mean simanim doraita in another instance. Or, by the case of Hashavat Aveda, you're trying to establish ownership. And the Torah says, use simanim to establish ownership. You'd say it's doraita over here. But that could mean that over by animals, you wouldn't do that because they're not strong enough. Because you have to have what's called the siman muvhak. You can't just give simanim. You have to give simanim that are muvhakim. Simanim that are clear and give you the identity of the item. Some simanim, if you say someone's tall, someone's short, that's not a siman muvhak. If you say someone has a birthmark on their right ear, on the upper lobe, that's something that's an identical mark, that's pretty good siman. So how do you know over here that these are simanim muvhakim? So again, the Ramban says you could easily differentiate between the cases, therefore he sees this being as a very local halacha, simanim doraita by animals, by this case of kilayim, and not having this be applicable to Hashavat Aveda and other areas of halacha. Tanrabanan, oto ved bino noheg bikilayim ube koi. We quoted this braita in yesterday's daf, where we said that oto ved bino has application by animals that are kilayim, and has application by a koi. Belezer omer kilayim haba min ha'ez u'min ha'rachel. If you have a mixed breed that came from an ez, which is a goat, a Rachel, which is a sheep, so the Az is a buck, which is a male goat, and the Rachel is a ewe, which is a female sheep. Oto ve'et beno noegbo. Then there is a din of oto ve'et beno. Seems like he agrees with the Tanakhama with regards to kilayim. Koi, in oto ve'et beno noegbo. But with regards to a koi, then oto ve'et beno has no application. So it seems to me that they agree about kilayim, they disagree about the koi. Amar Rav Chisda, what is this koi that is the source of machloket between Rabbi Elazar and the Chachamim as to whether it has application by oto ve'et beno or not? It actually is a kilayim mixture that is the result of a tayish, which is a male goat or a buck, and a hind, which is a female deer. So you have a mixture between a tayish and a tzviya. So that is a koi. So the question now is, why is a koi different than the mixture that is produced from a goat and a sheep, an ez and a rachel? Why does Rabbi Elazar distinguish between them? As Rashi points out, Rav Chisda's position over here is coming to be in contrast to the position that a koi is a birya bifnei atzma, that the koi is its own species, and that's why there's machloket about the koi all over Shas, is because we're uncertain as to what the species of this animal is. On the other hand, Rav Chisda says, it has nothing to do with whether it's a safek about the species, it has to do with the fact that it's kilayim. And the question is, when you have kilayim, what's the identity of the offspring in the kilayim? And that's the only question over here with regards to the koi. So, hey, chidami, what exactly is the story here? Ilayim v'betayish shabal t'tviyah, if it's a case where a buck mated with a hind, it was a goat with, together with a deer, v'alda, and now it gave birth, because shachet la ulebra, and you're shechting it, the mother, and the offspring. V'amar Rav Chisda, akol modim, Didn't Rav Chisda also tell us that everybody agrees, Vitzivya, she was a hind, Ubana Taish, and its offspring was a kid, Shipatur, that there is no issue over here, Se Ubano Amarachmana. The Torah says specifically, Vishoro Se, Otove Bino, Lotishchatu, Biyom Echad. Torah specifies that the parent has to be a shor or a se. And over here, we already, based on the position of the Chachamim, believe that the mother is the only important species over here. So now, if the mother is not a shor or se, there is no din of Otove Bino. That's what he says. Se Ubino, Amarachmana, Velotzvi Ubino. So it doesn't matter if the mother is a deer. And by the way, I'm just using deer as a loose translation. We already spoke about this in Elu Trefot, that the Tzvi of the Gemara, as Rashi says, is certainly not the Tzvi that we're speaking about. It's more likely to be a gazelle or a Artzi Yisraeli type of deer. But it's probably not the deer that we think about in the European deer or the American deer. If that is Rav Chisda's view with regards to Otove Bino, then certainly the koi over here can't be a product of a male Taish, a buck, a goat, and a tzvia, and a female, quote-unquote, deer, because then the female is determinant in Otove Bino, and then you don't have an Iser of Otove Bino. That certainly can't be the issue over here, because the bright that we're quoting is about the din of Otove Bino. So if you combine Rav Chisda's two positions, then it's clear here that the offspring is this koi is not a result of a mother, which is a tzvia. So Ella, you have to say, bitzvi habala taisho. It's a case where it's a hart, a male deer, habala taisha, that then mated with a doe, with a female goat, vialda. And then they had offspring, v'kashachit la'ubra. And now you're shechting it, the mother, along with its child. So now you have a mother that is a tayasha, so it's clear that she fits into shor osel of the pasuk, and therefore it should be in violation of otove ebeno. V'amar v'chista kol modim v'hi taisha ubna tzvi. In a case where she, the mother, is a doe, is a female goat, ubna, and the offspring might be a mixture. It could be a tzvi, shechayav, se'amachmana, ubno koldu. It says that the mother has to be a shoroseh, but it never identifies the species of the offspring. So the offspring could be anything, as long as the parent, or the mother, is a shoroseh. So based on those two positions of Rav Chisda, it's clear if the mother is a tzvia, there's no din of otove bino. And it's clear if the mother is a goat, then there is otove bino, irrespective of whether it's a mixed breed or not. So then, where is this koi relevant? The koi is a mixture between a goat and a deer. Where do you have this be relevant if Rav Chisda tells you that each of the two scenarios kol modim, everybody agrees? So then, what are the Rabbi Lezer and the Chachamim disagreeing about? Where it says, the olam b'tayish habal tzvia. It's a case where you have a father that is a buck, is a male goat, about tzvia that mates with a hind, a female deer, v'yaldah bat, and it gave birth to, or they have an offspring that is a daughter, ubat yaldah ben, and then that daughter produces a son. So they have a child, and then a grandchild that comes from this mixed breed over here. Now the bat is dafka, the ben is lav dafka. The grandchild could be either a ben or a bat, it's irrelevant to us, because the Otove Bino has application both to a mother and son, or mother and daughter. That's true. The bat is dafka, because we've already established, according to the Chachamim, that Otove Bino only has application by the mother, not by the father. So the bat is dafka. Because shochet la ulibra, and it's shechting it, meaning the bat, the daughter, ubra, and the grandchild, or the grand offspring here. Rabbana tzavre choshishin lezera av. So the Chachamim believe that we worry about the father's contribution over here. V'seh, v'afilu mikzat seh. And then we say that as long as there's any mixture of a seh in there, it's enough to make it chayav in oto ve'et bino. So if I combine those two things, the father's contribution is meaningful. As long as you have some semblance of seh in this animal, that's enough to make it that it's subject to oto ve'et bino. Rabbi Eliezer Savar, in choshishim lezera'av. He says, we don't worry about the father's contribution over here. And we don't say that if there's any piece of seh involved over here, that that's enough to make you chayav in oto ve'et bino. So the Chachamim believe that the father's contribution here is meaningful. And therefore, when you have a male goat that is involved that has impact on the offspring. The offspring is a daughter. That daughter, that female, is a product of a tzvia and a taish. So even though the taish is the father, the goat side is the father, nevertheless, it's impactful on the offspring because we're choshin zerav. So now the bat has a din that it is partly in the world of Seth. And then that daughter has a child. Now is otobe beno relevant to it? The chumim say yes, because that daughter is 50% goat. And the goat is subject to otobe beno, because any amount of goat is enough to make you that you're subject to otobe beno. Rabbi Eliezer, on the other hand, says that the father is irrelevant. And the mother here is at tzvia, the mother is at tzvia, then there's no din of otobe beno over here. Or the contribution to the offspring is meaningless. The offspring is a full-fledged tzvi, because the mother is determinant in that. Well, if it's a full-fledged tzvi, then the otov ebeno is not relevant to it, and its son or child that is born from it will not be subject to otov ebeno along with it. That's the view of Rabbi Eliezer. Gemara says, the liflog b'choshishin l'zerav b'plok t'techanani v'rabonon. If their machloket is really whether we're choshishin l'zerav or not, why are they arguing about a koi with regards to otov ebeno? Let them just argue explicitly about the, are we choshish in the zerav or ain't choshish in the zerav. Let them argue like the chachamim in Chananya, whether otov ebeno is relevant by a father or is it not relevant by a father. Why don't they just have their machloket be identical to that of the Rabbonon and Chananya? The fact that they don't already seems to indicate that their machloket is different. If they had their machloket similar to Chananya and the Rabbonon, havamina baha, afilu Rabbonon mon, that maybe if they argued in the same position as Chananya the Rabbanon, I would think maybe in this instance, our case here, where you have a grand offspring of the mixed breed of a Tayish and a Tzvia, that there would be no din of Otov et Beno, the Seh, Vafilu Mikset Seh, Lo Amrina. Because we would not invoke this principle that any amount of Seh makes you culpable by Otov et Beno. Kamash Malan, that we do say that. So Ein Hachanami, they are arguing in the same Machloket, which is, whether Zera'av is important or Zera'av is not important, but that was not enough. Because if that was only their machloket, then you might come to the conclusion that by a koi, that is, this scenario where you have a tayish and a tzvia that produce a daughter, a female, and then that female has offspring, is that female subject to otov ed beno? That would then revolve around whether you believe mitzat seh. Just having a portion of the seh species here, does that have impact? In the cases that we've spoken until now, the mother was a full breed. The mother was either a behema or it was a chaya. And then that would determine whether it was a tov et beno. Because the mother is a full-fledged species, 100%, whatever it is, seh or tzvia, whatever it is, would be determined by the mother. Over here in our scenario, we created a mother that's a mixed breed. The mother's a mixed breed, then we have a bigger question, which is, even if you assume that Zera'av is or isn't important, you still then have to determine whether, when you have a mixed breed, what's the status of that mixed breed. And that's the machloki between the Chachamim and Rabbi Eliezer that's different than that of the Rabbanan and Chananya, which is whether we say or invoke the principle of Afilu Mitzat Seh. So now the Gemara so far has set up their machloki between the Rabbanan and Rabbi Eliezer along those lines. Rabbanan are Choshishin the Zera'av, and they also say that Mitzat Seh is enough to make you culpable for Otov et Beno. And Rabbi Eliezer believes, first of all, that Ein Choshishin Zera'av. And number two is, you have to be a full-fledged set in order to be culpable for Otov et Beno. Just being a partial set is not enough. Now Gemara says, what are you going to do with the Mishnah from Bikurim that is spoken about extensively in the Gemara in Beitza? Koi, Ein Shochatim Otov Yom Tov. You're not allowed to shecht the koi on Yom Tov. Vim Shachato, if you do shecht it, you do not cover its blood. This is because the din of Kisui Adam, according to the Torah, only applies by a chaya and an oath. It doesn't apply to a behema. So if you shech the behema, there's no necessity for Kisui Adam. If you shech the behema on Yom Tov, you don't have any issue because you don't have to do Kisui Adam. And Shechita is muteret on Yom Tov because it's ochel nefesh. The other hand, if you shech the chaya or an oath on Yom Tov, then you need to do Kisui Hadam. Now, we're only going to allow you to do Kisui Adam if it is necessary. So first of all, you have to prepare it ahead of time. You need to have the earth to put over it that's not mukseh. But also, it's only designated for something that's necessary or needs it. The problem you have is in the case where you shecht a koi where it's a safek beima, safek chaya, then you do kisui adam misafek. So on a regular day, that's not a problem. Just do kisui adam misafek. You don't make a bracha, you do it in case it's a chaya. When you're on Yom Tov, you don't have the option to do it misafek. If it is necessary to do kisui adam, then you can use the dirt, you can use the earth on Yom Tov that you set aside for this purpose, and it won't be considered a violation of muksa or a violation of hachana because you prepared it for this particular purpose. On the other hand, if you don't know whether it's a chaya or a beima, then you're only going to do a misafek. We wouldn't let you utilize it or touch this quote-unquote muksa in order to do the kisei adam in this instance because it might be a beima. If it's a beima, you're not entitled to do this on Yom Tov. That's what the Mishnah says. Koi ain't shokotim b'tobi Yom Tov. Don't shek on Yom Tov because you're going to put yourself in that position where you're going to need to do the kisei adam misafek, which you can't do on Yom Tov. Now, if you already did it, b'diavad, we tell you don't do kisui adam because we don't let you violate Yom Tov in order to do the kisui adam misafek. B'maya skinan, what exactly is this koi over here? Ilei mabitayish about tzviya, if it is a case where it's a buck, male goat that mated with a hind, a female deer, v'yalda ben rabbonon, ben rabbi Eliezer, lishchot v'lichsei. Whether you hold like the Rabbanon, whether you hold like Rabbi Eliezer, you should be able to shecht it and do kisui adam. Tzvi, v'afilu miksat tzvi. Because over there you just say, if it has any semblance of a tzvi in it, it's classified as a chaya, and it's classified as a chaya, then you can do kisui adam. According to Rabbi Eliezer, who says, ein choshin l'zera'av, this is a through and through tzvi, because the mother was a tzviya, and for sure you can do it. According to the Chachamim, who say that we're choshin l'zera'av, they also invoke the principle of seh u'miksa tzeh, and over here they'll say tzvi u'miksa tzeh. So that means anything that has any semblance of a tzvi in it is chayav and kisui adam. So in this case, the mother was a tzviya, so it should be chayav and kisui adam. Why can't you shef the offspring, this koi? Because according to both the Chachamim and Rabbi Lezer, you for certain need to do kisui adam. That's permitted on Yom Tov if you prepare it properly. And even though in a situation in where you have a mixture of blood between a beima and a chaya, you wouldn't have to do kisui adam, nevertheless over here, since the entity is a single entity, even though it's a mix between a beima and a chaya, you would be chayav to do kisui adam, and you would do it on Yom Tov. So that the Baalei Tosafot brings as a distinction between a case of independent chaya and beima that got mixed together where there's no obligation of kisui adam, versus a single species where in it itself is a mixed between beima and chaya, there the dam of that animal or that shkita would require kisui adam, even on Yom Tov. Even though it's a chatzi chaya, chatzi beima, that's the way that Tosafot deals with the question brought by Rabbi Shmuel Mivardon. Ella, it must be a tzvi habala tayasha. It's a case where a hart, a male deer, had mated with a doe, a female goat, vialda, and then they had an offspring. Either a bonon, if it's the Rabbonon, lishchot, you could sheft it, v'lichsei, and then cover over the dam, because the Chachamim say that we're choshesh to the Zera Ha'av. The Zera Ha'av over here was a tzvi, a chaya. So you're obligated in kisui adam, because we worry about the father, and any miksat tzvi is enough to make you chayav. Either Rabbi Eliezer, lishchot, v'lo lichsei. According to Rabbi Eliezer, you should be able to sheft it, and not worry about doing any kisui adam. Because he thinks that the mother is determinant. Over here, the mother was a behema. It was a tayasha. It was a female goat. If that's the case, then you don't need to do kisui adam at all. It's a behema. So then what's the safek over here? Where it says, no, lo'olam mitzviya bala tayasha. That it is a case where it is a male deer, a hart, that is mating with a tayasha, a doe, a female goat. Rabbonon svuke misapkelu. The Rabbonon's position of whether choshin zera'av is not an absolute position. It is a position that comes misafek, similar to what we saw in the position of Rabbi Yehuda before, that choshin zera'av is a safek. E choshin zera'av, e ein choshin. The safek is, do we worry about the father or not? So therefore now, according to the Rabbonon, when you have a father that is a tzvi and a mother that is a tayasha, maybe we'll go by the mother, and there's no necessity for kisui adam at all, like Rabbi Eliezer would say over here, because the mother determines everything. Or maybe the father is important, and if the father is important, you would require kisui adam according to the Chachamim. Exactly, that's exactly the case where there's a problem about shechting a koi on Yom Tov for the Rabbonon is in a case where the father was a Tzvi and the mother was a Tayesha. So in that case, Choshen Zerav is impactful. If you believe that you are Choshen Zerav, then you would require Kisui Adam. If you're not Choshish Zerav, then it wouldn't require Kisui Adam. And since we don't know, we're not certain about whether Choshen Zerav or not, then the Safek doesn't allow you to Shecht it on Yom Tov because you can't deal with the Safek on Yom Tov. Mar says, Umidurabonon Misapkiru, Rebelezer Pshitalei. Well, if that's the case, that the Rabbanon have a Safek about Zerav, that makes it sound like the position of Rabbi Eliezer is absolute, meaning that he believes that Zera'im is the only thing that matters. Zera'av is completely irrelevant. Now, it sounds like from the Gemara that the fact that it is Pashut, the Rabbi Eliezer, therefore this Braita is a problem. As Tosfos points out, even if it was a Safek for Rabbi Eliezer, it's a problem, as we're going to see upcoming. It's till the Gemara decides that the Machloket is not about Koshishin the Zera'av or not, but rather about Seu Mitzatzeh, only then can you clarify the problem. To really, truthfully, it is a problem for Rabbi Eliezer no matter what he holds. But the Gemara is just structurally saying until now we assume that that was the case for Rabbi Eliezer, even though maybe we could have argued, we would have agreed at the Chathila not to do something. This is only Bidiyavad. Now we're saying based on the Chachamim's position, it has to be that Rabbi Eliezer is the Chathila because the Rabbanon are the Shita of Chashisha. So now that we say that within Rabbi Eliezer, how do we solve this Braita? So is that really true? V'atanya hazroa velachayim v'keba noagim b'koi ubikilayim. When it comes to the matnot ha-kohen that are taken from a behema that is chulin, so behema chulin, the kohen gets these following matanot from it: the zroa, the right forearm, the keba, the area of the stomach, velachayim, which is likely not the cheeks but the jaw of the animal. We have that application by a koi. And by kilayim, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, kilayim haba min ha'ez u'min ha'rachel. If they are a mixed breed that comes from a buck, male goat u'min ha'rachel, and a female sheep, a ewe, chayav b'matanot, then you have to give matanot. That seems obvious because over there it's the zera beima min ha'koi patur min ha'matanot. On the other hand, from a koi, you do not have to give matanot. But my askinan, what exactly is this koi where he's saying no? If it's a buck, a male goat that is mated with a tzvia, a hind, a female deer, the aldam, and they have offspring, so then I understand Rabbi Eliezer, why he says that you're patur, he says that the contribution, if it's not the full contribution, is not meaningful over here. The truth is that it's even more pashut than that because he's not choshes the zera'av. So over here, the father is the only thing that would have made you chayav and matanot. But the fact that he's not choshes the zera'av, and beyond that, he's not even choshes from mitzat, then there's no contribution over here that's in behema, that's meaningful, halakhically for the offspring, and you won't be chayav in matanot. The rabbonon, nehid kasavrei se, v'afilu mitzat se. So according to the rabbonon, we know that they believe that Seh Mixat Seh is influential over here. Bishlama Palga Lo Yahible. Idach Palga Lemale Aiti Raya to Choshishin Zerav Ushko. Meaning that the Rabbanon said that we're a Choshishin Zerav Misafek. So now you have over here an animal that is comprised of 50% coming from a Chaya and 50% coming from a Behema. The father that is a Taish is a Behema. The mother, that is its Tzviya, is a Chaya. So now the 50% that is associated with the mother, clearly you don't have to give to the Kohen because that 50% is something that derived from a Chaya. And when it derived from a Chaya, you're not Chayav in Matanot. So that's what the Gemara said. Bishlama Palga Loyo, 50% you don't have to give. Idach Palga, why do you have to give anything with regards to the other 50% as well? The other 50% is because the father was a Behema. But we're not sure whether a Choshishin the Zerav or not Choshishin the Zerav. The person can say to the Kohen, you bring a Rayo that the din is Choshishin the Zerav, and you can take this. If you can't bring a Rayo, then a Motzi Mechavero Lava Raya, you can't take this from me. So then, in that case, why does he have to give anything? The Chachamim over here said that when it came to a Koi, you are Chayav in Matanot. The way that we're expressing it now, there should be no obligation on the individual to give Matanot in the case of a Koi. Rashi says, because since it is something that is a divisible entity, Therefore, you can split up the matanot and say, you get 50%, I don't get 50%. And therefore, the 50% that's relevant to the tzvia, clearly you have no rights to. The other 50%, if it was 100% tzvia, you have no rights to it. If the father matters as a tayish, then you'd be entitled to that 50%. So at 150%, it's 100% mine, and I don't have to give it to you. The other 50% is bisafek. And that's how Rashi terms it, and that's the girsa that he has in the Gemara. Rabbeinu Gershom's girsa in the Gemara is that 50% you have to give, and the other 50% is bisafek. And so the note here in the Od Aleph says that Rashi is clearly trying to change the girsa to be in contrast to the girsa of the Rabbeinu Gershom. And the Rabbeinu Gershom's position is based on the fact that mamona mutal b'safek chokim. When you have money that is in doubt, you split it. And that's the scenario here. Why do you have to give 50%? Because if the zera adiyav is meaningful over here, then not only would you give 50%, you'd give 100%, because a mitzat set tells you you're chayav 100% in this case. So if that's the scenario, then you'd be chayav 100% for it. The other possibility is that we don't worry about Zerav, and then the mother is determinant, and then you get nothing. So it's 0 and 100, you split that 50-50, because it's a manam mutalba safek, and therefore you have to give the 50. The other 50 is a motzi mechavero alavaraya. And that way he answers the Tosafot's question over here, that we have many other places in Shas, where we have sfeikot like this, and we don't invoke this principle that says, bring a raya to take it. We give them 50%. According to Rashi, the person gets nothing. The first 50%, you say for sure you don't have any chelik in. The second 50%, bring a raya and take it. Yet, throughout Shas, we find that when you have matam mamon and mutal b'safek, we split it. So why over here are we saying you don't split it according to Rashi, and over there you do? Well, according to the Rabbeinu Gershom's girsa, then it works out, because this is no different than the other cases. Here you also give 50%, because mamon and mutal b'safek, and therefore 50%, is given because it's mamona mutal b'safek. So the remainder of the Gemara is much harder to read according to that girsa of the Rabbeinu Gershom. Tosfot, on the other hand, answers using Rashi's girsa and says, yesh mekamot shiftu chachamim machmad ha-safek shito mechsa. That's a takanat chachamim. In some places, in Shas, chachamim are tamitakein, that you get 50% when it's b'safek. Other places, they leave it to the ikar din, which is motzi mechamero alav araya. Or, in essence, we have the position of sumchus, that is chokim, and what it seems like is that there are a number of places in Shas where the Gemara seems to favor that position of sumchus, and other places like here, according to Rashi, where sumchus isn't brought in at all, it's not relevant. So maybe it's a machloket asugyot as to who we paskin like, or it's like the Tosafot says, there's a takanat chachamim in certain places to follow that view of sumchus. Ela, so the scenario must be reversed. Bitzvi was a hart, a male deer, a baal atayasha, that made it with a doe, a female goat, v'yalda, and they had offspring. Bishlam al rabbonon, my chayav. What does it mean, your chayav over here? Bechetzi matanot. Your chayav in half the matanot. Again, this is a product of a chayan beima. So the tzad beima in it, you are chayav to give matanot for. The tzad chaya, you're not. So here, you are, for sure, you have the tzad seh, which is the mother's side, which would obligate you. So that at least 50% you are at least chayav in. The other 50% is bisafek. Because if we're only choshesh li zera ha'aim, then in that case you would have to give 100% to the kohen. If we're also choshesh li zera ha'av, then you would only be required to give 50% of it. So mimon of shach, you have to give 50% of it. That's the way Rashi explains it. And therefore, over here, when it says chayav, according to the chachamim, it means chayav 50%. The other 50% you hold in abeyance until they can prove whether we're choshesh in the zerav or not choshesh in the zerav. But then it's a motzi mechaber v'lavera, you don't have to give it. But at least you can say chayav means chayav for the 50%. El Rabbi Eliezer, the chayav bikulu matanot. According to Rabbi Eliezer, it was only choshesh for zera aim. Over here, the mother was a female goat. If that's the case, you should be 100% chayav in matanot. Why does Rabbi Eliezer say by koi, you're not chayav in matanot? So Gemara says, olam, we are assuming that it is b'tzvi abalat hayasha. It is the case that we explained over here, that a hart, a male deer, made it with a female goat. V'yaldan, they had offspring. Rabbi Eliezer, namim smuke misapkilei, yichoshin zera'av olo. So he also has the same safek as to whether we're worried about the zera'av or not. Kevin de la bonar misapkilehu. Rabbi Eliezer misapkilehu, mamai plige. Well, if they both have a safek over here, why do they have a difference in opinion? They're both choshesh lezera av, meaning if they be safek, they're choshesh lezera av, then they should have the same halacha, they should have the same outcome. Why do they have different outcomes over here? Our answer is they argue mitzeh, b'afilu mitzatzeh. That's what they argue about. That din of seh and mitzatzeh, or tzvi, u mitzatzvi, those principles are the machloka between them. The chachamim believe that we do invoke that principle, and therefore if there's any semblance of a seh, this animal, then there is a din of otovet beno. There is a din of matnot being given to the kohen. Whereas Rabbi Elazar believes that you have to be a full-fledged seh, you have to be a full-fledged behemah in order for it to be relevant by otovet beno or to be relevant by the matnot. And that's the case. Rabbanan sabre seh v'afilu mitzatzeh. It's a seh and afilu mitzatzeh. First of all, if the mother is a taisha, then 100% you're chayav in the matnot. If you're also choshish lezerav, then you wouldn't be chayav on the tzad of the av, but then you would be still chayav in tzad of aim, so at least 50% you're chayav, and being a mixatzeh, a partial seh is enough to make you chayav in the matanot over here. On the other hand, Rabbi Eliezer believes, savar seh, below mixatzeh. You have to be a full-fledged seh in order to be a chayav over here. So if the mother was a taisha, then if it was an aim, 100%, then you would have to give the matanot. If we have zera'av, then you don't have to give anything at all. In that case, according to Rabbi Eliezer, it's a all-or-nothing proposition. The tayasha, which is the mother in this case, would make it that you are chayav in matanot. That means you'd be 100% chayav in matanot, because the mother is the only determinant here. Since it's a tayasha, it's a behemah, the offspring would classify it as a behemah, and you would have to give the matanot. And then if a choshin zera'av, it makes it into a mixed breed, you'd have to give absolutely nothing. Because that's not chayav according to him in matanot, because you need full-fledged set, not just mixed set. Given that, you have a choice of 100% yes, 100% no. Hamotzi michaveiro lavarai, you don't pay anything until the kohen can prove to you that ain choshishin lezera'av. Whereas by the chachamim, in both scenarios, you're going to be chayav for the matanot. In the scenario where it's the mother is determinant, then it's a full-fledged set, and you're chayav 100%. Of the matana over here, because it's a behema. Then, if we're koshesh the zera av, then we say seh v'afilu mixatzeh. Over there, you should also be chayav because you have mixatzeh. But it's a little bit more complicated now because even though they believe mixatzeh is enough to make you culpable, it's still based on the ratio of how much seh is involved over here. And therefore, if you have a mixatzeh over here, you don't have to give 50% of it. And that's what Rashi said before. You give a 50% because you have to give 50% mean manof shach. The other 50% is besafek and motziach haveru alav haraya. Okay, we're going to stop here, three lines down on the top of Pei Amud Aleph.